tonight, eh?
Good afternoon, good morning, or good evening, whatever time you're listening to us. This is the Drunken UX Podcast. The Drunken UX Podcast is brought to you by GasMark8 at GasMark8.com. I am your host, Michael Feenan. I am a web developer, analytics, and something else guy. I don't know what, but for now, let's call me a host. And I have with me on the other side of this microphone.
Hi, this is Aaron Hill. I'm also a web developer, and I have opinions, and I'm on my third drink tonight.
Only your third? Okay, I'll catch up to you in a second here. So if you are tuning into Drunken UX for the first time, you can follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/drunkenux or twitter.com/drunkenux. We kept it simple for you. This evening, I can tell you that I am having a delicious and well-aged Aberfeldy 12. I'm on, I don't know, I lost count. I'm on glass, what, two and a half, three? I don't know. After a while, you keep adding to the glass, even though it's not really empty. So, we'll see what happens. Aaron, remind me, what are we talking about tonight?
We're talking about auto-playing videos and why we
Jesus
hate
Christ.
Them.
Why? Whose idea was this? And I don't know. And I mean either the episode or the videos themselves. Either one of them kind of pisses me off at this point. So
the internet.
Take that as you
us.
May. Okay. So, and I'm going to group something else in here because it's kind of a video, kind of not. But it goes to the root of the problem, I think, that I don't torrent. I don't download things illegally. I'm sure you don't either.
Nope.
I'm sure none of our listeners do. They have no idea what we're talking about. But I'm told here that one of the things that really annoys people is when they are visiting their favorite download site of some sort, and they click on the latest episode of I don't know what's popular these days is
Game of
Teen Mom,
Teen Mom,
Game of Teen Mom,
Game of Teen Mom.
Okay. They click on the latest episode of Game of Teen Mom, season 11, episode 42, and as they are trying to download it, they get this. Hello. If you're over 18, please click on, you know, parts of my body to play this game. I promise it's a safe game, but if you click right, I'll make some nice noises for you.
Our kingdom is in danger.
Our kingdom is in danger. Please save us. And of course, you've got like 27 tabs open like we all do.
Right.
And you don't know which one's making the noise. You just want to download your TV show. And all I can think about is, my wife's trying to sleep down the hallway right now. What the fuck is up with that?
Then everybody thinks they're watching porn.
Oh my God. I don't know what to do with these people anymore because, I don't know, I've been using the website since the 90s, and we haven't had this problem until recently because mm-hmm. video used to be a thing that, like, you couldn't do. Mm. We had, what did we have? We had Real Video, right? Real Video was the first
standard
in terms of what, yeah.
.rm.
That was how you got video to people. And it was like, do you have a 14 4K modem?
Oh, man.
Then here's the one you get to see that is the size of a postage stamp. It was a scarce resource, right?
Yeah.
It was something that you used for very special things. But anymore, no, they just kind of stick that shit everywhere they can get away with it.
Sometimes multiple on the same site, even. You know, maybe you don't want to download it, you just want to go and stream it on a website, a cartoon or something. And then, like, after you hit play and it's playing, and then all of a sudden there's an advertisement to the side that's like,
you should buy this car because it's great.
Oh, there we go. Yeah. That's the sound effect we needed. Yeah. I've ran into that with DirecTV. I use DirecTV Now. I stream my TV Now because who wants to pay for cable? But their service, not so mature yet. They're still having a little bit of trouble with that. And one thing that I have noticed with it is they have a habit of double playing ads. So an ad will be playing and a second ad will load like in the stream and they will overplay on each other.
I've heard that. I don't have DirecTV, but I've heard that happen.
It's so weird. And it's worth, you know, it's a little different than, you know, the audio autoplay issue, but it is the audio thing. And that's where I think I'm going to end up coming back to a lot during this conversation is the video isn't really the problem, right?
Mm-mm.
It's the audio. It's that cognitive load that it stresses a web user and what they're trying to accomplish.
You can always look somewhere else on the screen, but you can't hear different channels in your ears.
Right, right. Your eyes are multi-channel, right? Mm-hmm. Your ears are not. Everything that comes in just comes in. So, and when I think about cognitive load, I come back to, like, who was it? Steve Krug, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Everything that he talks about in Don't Make Me Think, and when you stress users and add friction to any kind of experience.
Mm-hmm. It builds up, and you kind of... It creates a bad UX because every tiny little thing, you know, like adds onto it, and then it makes overall the kind of the gestalt experience of the website you're using becomes kind of negative because of all these tiny little things, like, you know, the flashing text here and the bright red background, and then your picture of your cat, and yeah.
You know what's wild about that as well, at least to me, is when we think about cognitive load and UX stress and friction in interactions. When you are autoplaying something on a web page, you have the effect not only of pissing off the user that's on your page, but you're pissing off users on other pages. If I've got 12 tabs open and I'm not on your tab, right, and you distract me from the thing that I'm doing on somebody else's website, it's not that I'm going to blame them, but it's definitely going to interrupt what I am doing on that site.
Pay attention to me. I'm a website.
It's very much an attention whore kind of kind of thing, right? When we think about how users perceive this, right, mm-hmm. it gets into a lot of stuff about not just the cognitive load, but the technical load of it, right?
Yeah.
We start thinking about how pages load. How long have we spent talking about load times on web pages mm-hmm. and making sure stuff happens as quickly as humanly possible?
Yeah. Like a prime concern for any web developer.
Right.
Yeah.
This never happens when we start talking about video, though.
Mm-mm.
When you have a video player, and especially if you've got one that is focused on auto-playing something,
mm-hmm.
I feel like all of that goes out the window.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of times you got a video that just starts playing, and it's like sucking down that data. And if the page hasn't even finished loading yet, you know, like, forget the rest of your bandwidth if you're not on a high bandwidth connection.
The funny part is you've got two different types of folks, right? The ones who are like YouTube, who if you embed a YouTube video,
mm-hmm.
it generally doesn't autoplay,
mm-hmm.
but it does load all of the player data asynchronously. So you've mm-hmm. got all the Chrome, you've got all of the stuff is loading in parallel, which is fine.
Yeah.
At least asynchronous doesn't generally interrupt the flow.
Mm-hmm.
Usually it does in some cases.
Well, it's an iframe, so it's not going to stop the DOM from loading, at least.
Yeah. With YouTube, I'm thinking about stuff like if you are running just a general e-com site, though, and you've got, mm-hmm. say, a big autoplay video in your header.
Yes.
I've got a site that I work on that is set up like that, that they wanted this video, and they're using a canned WordPress theme mm-hmm. to pull it off. And the WordPress theme that they're using doesn't have a fallback of any kind.
Oh, so just while...
Yeah, so while that video is loading and the player is loading, you just sort of have this gray background.
Our website's cool, I promise. I promise it's cool.
just
wait.
Hang out.
Yeah.
Wait a second. We'll get there eventually. Don't worry.
Don't start the clock on your 5 seconds of attention.
And then we've got the assholes like CNN. Mm-hmm. Sorry, CNN.
No,
you guys pissed me
off. We're
not
sorry.
They load their video asynchronously so that you think you're safe, but you're not. You realize you're not safe about 10 seconds into the page. Once you've already scrolled down, you're scanning that content, and now the audio hits you.
Oh.
Now you know something else is going on. That's almost worse to me.
I really
in those instances.
I read pretty fast, and I like to scan, like I know a lot of web users do. And I really hate it when you make me consume your content through video at this like pace where people are talking. And it's like, I don't want to. I just want to know the thing. You clickbaited me into the article. Just I want to find out the thing. I don't want to watch a stupid video.
Text overhead is literally bytes at that mm-hmm. point. And so when you've got that, you've got it in front of you, and you're already engaged with that content. You know, how many years have we talked about this idea of content being king, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everything comes down to the text on the page. That's what people come for. And video was this great idea, and we started looking at putting it on a page. Then we started auto-playing it. Then we started using it for advertisements. It's like you were saying earlier, that when a video starts playing and then an ad starts playing, I don't know off the top of my head the ad provider who does the little right corner pop-ups.
Oh,
that have the little videos in them.
Ad Choice. I don't remember who it is.
I genuinely don't know off the top of my head with that. I know that they are awful human beings for making me put up with that. And that idea that, okay, you've got a video on your website that I'm looking, because I think, I may be wrong, I think it's CNET that does this, that uses both services. They have auto-playing video, but then they have this little video ad pop-up. Neither of them are muted, mind you.
Right.
So now you're trying to give me genuine video content, but you also have an ad on your page that is audio and not muted.
Yeah, so we've got two ears. That's one for each video, right?
I can trust nothing anybody is giving me at this point, because I don't know who is, what's the ad, what's the content, what's the point? I get angry, and then I get over it. But the reality is that that's what's happening, right? We're pissing people off.
And then it happens again. And then, you know, the whole point of, like, our job as web developers is to make sites that are... like, we're trying to provide either a service or content or something of value to our users, because we're supposed to ostensibly care about what our users, you know, like what they're visiting us for. And it seems like when you're doing things to piss your users off, whether it's auto-playing videos or whatever, you're kind of disrespecting your users, or just, like, taking them for granted that, like, they won't go somewhere else. I will, if there's a video thing, like, if I click through a thing and I want to know something, and it's a video and there's no transcript, I will straight click right out of that. I do not care enough. Don't care if it's NPR or whoever. NPR does that. They don't always do transcripts. Like, I do not want to listen to your stupid audio.
It makes me think, there was a tweet that went out a little while back. Sarah El Jaffe, I hope I'm saying her name right. The quote that she gave on that, I think, sums it up. She says, "Dear websites, I literally never want autoplay video news. When I click on the article, go away, stop, I hate you."
Yes, plus one.
I mean, where are the tweets that say, "Holy shit, news site, I am so glad that I clicked on that link and you started that video for me the second I landed on it. I am so thrilled that I consumed your content that much faster."
If you're Nobody looking says at it, that. If you're looking at it from a metric standpoint, though, they have 100% plays, right? 100% of users are playing their videos. They may not be getting past 3 or 5 seconds, but they're all playing them.
You know, that goes back to the heart of it, right? That's why this has become such a big deal, because you have managers who care about view numbers. You have advertisers that care about eyeballs. Yep. And they don't care if they piss people off, because they're pretty confident that those same people will come back at some other time.
Yeah.
They won't not consume that information. I would argue that that's not true, though.
Facebook's been trying to court users to start using their video platform instead of YouTube by saying how many more views their videos are getting. But the thing is, if you look at the metrics, and I don't remember the website where I saw this, but I swear I read it, that they're only looking at the first, I think it was John or Hank Green, actually, one of them. But they're looking at the first, I think, 10 seconds of video, or 10 or 30 seconds, and using that as counting as one view, whereas YouTube kind of looks at a more like a holistic, how much time are people spend consuming our video content.
Hey, and if there's one guy I'm going to trust about video views, it's John and Hank Green.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Nerdfighteria for life, man.
Yes, love them. Hi, guys, if you're listening.
Yeah, hi. This is episode number one, in case anybody didn't catch, and I have no doubt that John and Hank Green will be tuning in for this episode. So if you're listening, hey,
don't forget guys, to be awesome.
Welcome. I'm glad you decided to tune into us 3 years after we became famous.
Right. Yes.
Now, if that happens 3 years after we've been doing this and we're famous, that's going to be really prescient. But yeah. Thinking about pissing people off, because I like this thread.
Mm-hmm.
I work from home. It's not as great as people think it is. I do get to listen to a lot of music.
Mm-hmm.
I listen to a ton of music. What if I'm trying to do that, I'm focused, I'm coding, and you interrupt me with autoplay video? You don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
You're polluting my audio environment. You know, we talk about audio is one channel.
Yeah.
whatever you pump into my audio sphere, I'm having to take in, and you are polluting my experience.
Yeah. Or if you're like we're video conferencing right now, and like what if you're video conferencing with a coworker, and they're like, hey, like, you know, read this article or something, or you know,
you
want
like
to open
to play
something
this game, and you're over 18. Please click on my chest right now.
You're really bored during an online meeting and decide to go find the latest episode of Game of Teen Mom.
And to bring it a little bit down a little bit, though, what if I've got a disability?
Mm-hmm.
What if I'm somebody who has motor control issues and you've decided to autoplay that video and now I have to go through whatever system I'm using, whether it's joystick, keyboard controls, whatever the case may be, mouth controls. And now I have to navigate back to your video controls to turn off the video that I didn't want playing in the first place.
Does screen readers like JAWS or any of those even get to like flash video controls? Is that even possible?
Flash video, I'm pretty sure that's a no because...
So you just SOL then.
You're just SOL. So I'm hoping they don't even parse Flash at all to begin with.
Good luck hearing what JAWS is telling you as you're scanning through all the headings and everything while there's a video playing its fucking advertisements or newscast or whatever.
Or the real threat here is, what if, let's say I'm a deaf user, right? Mm-hmm. And something starts playing. I don't know. What if it's... Students right now, we're coming up on the end of the year. Actually, we're recording this at the end of the year. You'll be hearing it just after. If I'm a deaf student, I'm studying for finals. I'm sitting in my nice quiet library. I've got my laptop open. I don't know that it's not muted necessarily. And I click a link to see something and I hear, if you're over the age of 18, please click wherever you want to right now. He's just trying to read an article, man.
And
now
it's
the
open,
whole library thinks he's a pervert.
And if it's open in a new tab, like they may not even be aware that it's playing at all.
The little speaker icon in Chrome, while nice and a great step, is absolutely not enough.
Right. You need like a screen flash or something.
And to the web developers that let this happen, to you guys that aren't standing up to your managers, that aren't willing to fight this fight, let me be very clear that it is an accessibility spec.
Mm-hmm.
You can't
WCAGS?
Do that. It's it's like under 5 seconds. It's like you can play like up to 5 seconds or something like that. That beyond that, you're in violation of accessibility standards to begin with, and you're putting yourselves on the hook for that.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm somebody who is having trouble with that as a disabled person, if I file a lawsuit against you, guess what? you have no excuse. You have no way out of that.
Yeah. They don't care.
Shrug emoji.
Yeah. I don't want to derail with like getting into how much I hate ads, but yeah.
I think there's one more disability, and that's just being a web developer, where you have like 57 tabs open at once because I've got 20 tabs open on reCAPTCHA documentation. I've got 14 GitHub pages open, and now one of these pages is making sound. It's Where's Waldo? It's a Waldo of annoying audio.
When I don't know, people who aren't compulsive tab openers like us may not know this, but when you get to enough tabs in Chrome, it kind of looks like a saw, like the top of a saw. You don't even see the names, and you don't see the speaker icon. So good luck trying to figure out which one suddenly started making noise. Especially if it was a page that has a rotating ad thing. I've seen this happen. Silent ad, you know, just like a little banner in the corner for 5-10 minutes, and then all of a sudden super loud Sunday, and it's just deafening, and you're just like, where the hell is this coming from? I haven't heard this so far.
That's a great thing too when you combine that with the previous example of the audio conference. Mm-hmm. I have sat in on more video calls than I can even count where we're in the middle of having a conversation and somebody shared a link to a blog, somebody just tried to say, hey, look at this article, something. Mm-hmm. And somebody has clicked on it, you know, while we're in the conference, because any number of us are just sitting at home, you know, at the time, just trying to multitask. And you hear over that video conference that audio. And so not only are they embarrassed, they're distracted, but now everybody's distracted that's right in that meeting as well, because now we're trying to figure out whose audio is bleeding through on top of it.
Why aren't you using headphones?
I feel bad because I don't use headphones, but I like to think that my microphone – is set up in a way that doesn't have that problem, but it is. It's we complain about auto-playing videos, and the videos really aren't the problem. It's the audio. Mm-hmm. It's the audio that makes all the difference there in terms of what makes it okay and not okay.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, going back to your point about the multi-tabs and everything, there was a Nielsen Norman Group article about multi-tab. They call it page parking or parallel browsing, and it's ever since the browser started having the new tab feature instead of just Windows, people have developed this habit of kind of opening up multiple pages at once as kind of a buffer or like a queue of stuff they want to look through. I do it a lot when I hit YouTube up. I look at my subs page and I'm like, oh, these 5 of 50 look interesting. So just open them up in new tabs. But if you have autoplay video content happening there, either ads or main content, all of a sudden you've got like loud noises happening in one or more tabs. YouTube thankfully doesn't do that. They were smart, but not everybody does that.
Coming up after we refill our glasses, we talk about YouTube, Facebook, and what you should be thinking about if you're designing websites with videos. Customers of GasMark 8 enjoy free SSL certificates, sites that are served over HTTP 2, and the experience of owners who designed a service around the needs of their customers. Listeners of the Drunken UX podcast can enjoy service for $10 a month. Just sign up at gasmark8.com/drunk. That's gasmark8.com/drunk. YouTube's done it right, I think. They are part of the example that the exception that defies the rule, so to speak.
Yeah.
That, you know, if I'm using Twitter, if I'm using Facebook and I click on a link, links are not contextual. Mm-hmm. A link tells me nothing about what I'm going to except the title. And because I've been using the web for as long as I have, maybe this will change in 10 or 20 years. But right now, when I click on a link, I expect a page with text. You know, or photos or something.
Right.
When I click on YouTube, I expect video. If I click on Vimeo, I expect video.
Yeah.
So I know contextually that their links are going to present me with something else that is different.
Yeah.
If I click on WKRPS or whatever the
oh, come on. If it's a local news site, you know it's going to have video.
Well, I do now. They have punished me into knowing. Yeah.
If you don't know yet, you're going to learn soon.
But when you click virtually anywhere else, you don't expect that. That's right. Really, that's part of this problem. YouTube gets away with it because you have the expectation and you have control. You have full control on that page over what's going on, and down to whether it autoplays another video after you're done.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the only time that becomes maybe a bit of an exception, right, is maybe if you're an audio user of YouTube and that's all that you're doing on there.
Yeah.
But even then, right, you've asked for it.
Yeah.
You're requesting that. You know what you're getting, I think.
Yeah. I think it was Nielsen Norman that coined the term a link is a promise. And that promise is that when you present a user with a link to something, you're sort of – The user is expecting you to have given them the information they need to know about what's going to happen when they click on that link. Is it going to open up in like a new window or the same tab? Is it going to go to video? Is it going to be a downloadable file? What's going to happen? You know, like they shouldn't have to look at the status bar at the bottom of the browser window to kind of decode their expectation.
If I send you an Amazon link that says, you know, Blue Yeti model USB 100, and you click on that Amazon link, what do you expect to get?
I don't expect to have an autoplayed video.
Right. I don't expect to land on there and have – they usually – like a lot of Amazon, especially big products, have like video information on them now. But they don't assault you with that. They say, hey, here's – you know, here it is in the little panel. You can click on that if you want it. But you expect to get a product page that is just waiting for you to engage with it.
Yeah, exactly.
I come back to CNN on this and any news site really, but – when I click on a news article, I'm thinking, at least in my brain, I'm going to read a story.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that's not true. I know somewhere in my brain, yeah, they're going to throw a stupid freaking video at me. CNN's problem, though, is that they're really inconsistent about it. And this is where YouTube has an expectation set. They've made that promise. We are a video website. You click on our link, you get a video. CNN has not promised me that. CNN right. only has promised me that they will give me news. The format that news takes, I have no way of predicting.
Mm-hmm. It's very mixed.
It's sometimes a video, but mm-hmm. sometimes not. Both. Sometimes it's a photo gallery. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they send me off to their new sports site, which is a totally different site entirely, even though it still uses a CNN link. What about local news, though? Local news is what I think ultimately drives me up the wall, because I pay attention to a lot of local news.
You'd think that they would prioritize. I mean, if they're putting their content up on the web, you'd think that they would prioritize putting the resources into doing this correctly, you know?
Oh, God,
I gotta say that the thing that bugs me the most, NPR does this a lot, and I'm really surprised, because you would think that a progressive news organization like this would have better use of transcripts. But, oh my God, like every single time you go to there and it's like, you have to listen to it. Like, they'll break it up into sections. It's like articles or like segments that would have ads between them. And you don't have to listen to the ads, thankfully. But it's, there's no transcripts. And I just really hate that.
The reverse of that is what I've seen a lot of, at least here with our local news, is it's all transcript.
Mm-hmm.
The articles themselves are literally word for word transcripts of what's in the video.
Mm-hmm.
Good for accessibility. Why are you auto playing my video then?
Right.
By the time your video has finished loading and the news anchor has made the introduction, I've already scanned the text content.
The only way I would want an autoplay video to read me the article I'm reading is if it's Samuel L. Jackson.
Read the
fuck out of this article.
I am 100% on board with Morgan Freeman as well.
Oh yeah, oh that would be all right. Yeah, yeah.
I would be all right with that. But
or Stephen Fry.
I don't think the local guys here can afford them. Local news has that problem that, you know, they don't care, right? That's really, like, you can tell there is no love, there is no heart in any of that content.
Yeah,
they're putting it up there because, well, they have a website and they don't care about putting enough money into it to make it interesting or different or otherwise make
sense. Is that like a conglomeration issue, though? I have no doubt. Yeah.
When a news organization owns, you know, 20 stations, they buy one CMS and they all share that platform.
Right, right. Yeah, like Gannett does with newspapers.
It is so indicative of what happens when you let the tools dictate the behavior. Mm-hmm. It's very, very indicative, I think, of that they're like, here's this platform, here's how we use it.
Mm-hmm.
Not,
well,
here's
boss
how
says
we
have to put a video. Gotta put a video up there.
So for instance, at least here, and I don't know off the top of my head who owns the local news stations here. Mm-hmm. They have a CMS of some kind. It's garbage to begin with, but we'll let that slide. But the video content they have uses playlist functionality. So if you go to a news site, and I don't mind sometimes letting it autoplay because I do have an interest in watching the newscasts and I don't sit down at 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock and watch them sometimes. What I do have a problem with is they then go into playlist mode where after I have watched the latest episode of the intersection that they're tearing up and when to avoid that part of town, they then jump into a donation that was given to the local hospital.
Mm-hmm. Right, because that's what you really came to hear about.
What does that have to do with anything that I'm interested in?
I think that's going back to that whole thing that, like, some people expect that their users are just going to hang out on their website. Like, oh, let's put a chat functionality in there. And, you know, like, maybe we'll put the weather. But even though we're a local government website or a higher ed or whatever, we'll put the, links to Hotmail in there. Why not?
Facebook has it right. I think Facebook.
They do that thing where
job.
It jumps the video when you scroll down. It jumps the video to the left, top left corner, right? Isn't that what they do now? Yeah.
If you've interacted with it, right. If you've interacted with it, they keep the video in view. That's interesting.
That was weird the first time that happened.
I think Facebook is. It's still weird. It's still like, in my head, I think when I'm scrolling, I've keyed into the audio and I don't think about the video portion of it at that point. So when it pops to the side, it definitely sort of is jarring a little bit. And Facebook itself has a number of issues layout-wise that I think we could do a whole episode on. But I think at least they're muting their videos. They autoplay everything now. I mean, any video you see is autoplay. But they at least are muting them and saying, you know what, we know that... A, the bandwidth isn't that much, mm-hmm. not for desktops anymore. On the right. mobile app, it doesn't do that. It doesn't autoplay them on the mobile app. But the other thing, and this is sort of a weird side effect, but it's something I've seen a lot more, and I love it and I hate it, but videos are burning captions in because they know that people aren't unmuting them.
What? Like they're, it's not a, not how YouTube does it with the closed caption like layer?
No. Yeah, like if you think about the Now This or the BuzzFeed videos and a lot of yeah. like the humor videos and stuff, or all these the tasty, okay. you know, or cooking videos, they are hard captioning the videos that come up because they know, and I'm assuming Facebook gives maybe yeah. some kind of analytics on mute and unmute. Maybe they don't. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't post video on YouTube or on Facebook, so I don't know. As a result, it's a mm-hmm. much better experience for me. My hearing is great. I have no hearing problems, but I don't want to hear your video, but I don't mind scrolling past right. and seeing the text. And I have watched a lot of mm-hmm. videos because of that, I think. It has enticed me. The reason I think I don't like it is because I just personally don't like burnt-in captions. I would rather see it
captioned yeah, I, the right I have way. Noticed a lot of YouTube videos, too, especially like music ones where there's singing or rapping or whatever. They'll have the words appear on the screen like with the thing. I kind of like that because you can't always understand what people are saying. But it is weird, though, like not having it as a cross caption thing.
It's a step in the right direction, though. Because if you're writing the captions to burn them in, it's a very short step to getting those yeah. captions available to any platform as yeah. like an accessibility yeah, compliance type thing. You know, it's a short mm-hmm. step, I think, to that point. I wish, and I'm like 98% sure that the Facebook videos do actually support captioning, but that's not getting used. People aren't utilizing that piece of it, if that's the case, mm-hmm. As far as I know. That's something I should have researched before we started the episode, but now I'm about 4 drinks into this, so give me a break. If this is the first episode you've listened to, if it's the 12th episode you've listened to, guys, this is what it's about. We drink sorry, and we rant. John and so Hank Green. I'm very sorry to the Green brothers. This is how I say awesome, so you're gonna have to just accept that.
Oh, there was there's an article, and the link will be in the doobly-doo, but it's it's called We Hate Autoplay 2, 3 Experts on Landing Page Video Best Practices, and it's really good. And what they did was they actually do autoplaying, but they have they did research of their users to find out exactly like what's the best way they can deliver this to the users in a the kindest way possible from their web developers. It's really awesome. They did A/B testing and all the decisions were data informed, and it resulted in users consuming 30 minutes beyond the average, which I think was already 30 minutes. So roughly like an hour total, I think, since they started doing autoplay. Check it out. It's a good article.
To me, anyway, I think what part of the exception to the rule, we've talked about, you know, the news sites, we've talked about media, Facebook, YouTube, but the one that stands out as sort of a weird mm-hmm. outlier is Netflix, right? Netflix has auto-playing video.
Yeah.
They do those little video promos. Like if you're sitting yeah. on the browse page and you go to, why?
It's why weird. Do you do this and to they me? Even, like, if you're on. They just is a recent thing, right? Like they just recently started doing this. Yeah.
Oh yeah. No, it's yeah. in the last maybe 2 or 3 months. I think they've started doing this. That I'm sensitive to it because mm-hmm. I use a home theater PC. So when I watch Netflix, I'm not using like a Fire Stick or a Chromecast or anything like that. I'm literally using yeah. a computer on my TV, and so it's Chrome. It just thinks it's a web page and will pull up Netflix and start scrolling down that page, and that mm-hmm. promo will start playing for Bright or Easy or whatever show mm-hmm. is currently, you know, popular that they're trying to plug. For some reason, I don't know why, like if you would ask me objectively, is that something that would annoy me, I would say no, but having experienced it, I find that it's actually
I have the Netflix
annoying.
App. I have a Samsung a smart whatever that means TV, and I have the Netflix app on it, and when you click into a show, like if you go to like a either a movie or a television show, while you're reading the info to decide whether or not you want to watch it. It'll just start playing the first episode. It's like, you've looked at it 5 or 10 seconds. You're probably just going to start watching it. It's like, hey, man, like, I don't know. I don't know if we're ready to get married to the show just yet.
So here's where the opposite, like, Netflix employs a completely inverse rule to this, which I find just ironic in this case, which is I don't mind that they autoplay video or episodes. If I'm watching one episode, let me watch the next one. Once you've watched, what is it, 3 episodes?
Yeah.
Then they stop you. Right. Then they don't autoplay anymore.
Yeah.
And I totally get why. I understand why they do that. But I do find it humorous in context.
Like, if you're committed to binge watching, them suddenly asking you, like, are you sure? Are you still watching?
Sorry, are you still there? Are you really that sad and lonely? And
is it
thing on
Twitter
am.
Where
Thank
they
you.
Asked, like, who watched what movie was it? The Christmas Prince or something, who watched it 367 or how many times it was
a lot. It was too many. I'm sorry. I don't know who watches it, but I'm sorry, it was too many. I don't know. To bring this home a little bit, I think I think about what people can do and how we address this as web developers, and some we can't rely on Chrome to do our fighting for us. Chrome is releasing now the update. In fact, I think it just rolled out, if I remember my news right, where they started by notifying you, right, that audio was playing on a tab. They gave you the little icon. Now they're going to just stop it entirely. They're not going to allow auto-playing videos. Apple's been doing this for a while in Safari. And on mobile devices, they've just said, you know what? No, if you have video that's going to start playing, we're going to programmatically stop it. But we can't rely on that, right? That's the wrong answer, I feel like. HTML5 has a spec in it for autoplay. And the design is that you can go into your browser then and say, I am okay with allowing people to do that, or I'm not okay to allow people doing that. I'm a big fan of opting in. At the same time, I feel like that's easily abused because I don't know. Yeah, I haven't seen a good implementation of it yet at the browser level that says I want to allow HTML5 autoplay videos
on
this site.
That would be all right. Yeah.
Like whitelisting it, because I feel like if I whitelist it on, CNET and the little corner pop-up comes up, does that count as on-site if it's reading it in from a third party? I don't know. As a user, I don't know. And as a developer, I haven't tested it, so I don't know.
I feel a little weird about, like, the browser sort of, like, preemptively breaking that contract with developers as far as what is going to be expected and how it's going to behave. I mean, developers shouldn't be abusing their users in that way anyways, but for a browser to sort of step in and kind of break that expectation, it doesn't pass good smell for me.
I have a huge worry here of getting that dreaded call from, like, Manager X that says, I'm visiting that page and that video isn't playing. And spending 4 hours of my life trying to figure out why the video was broken for only to find out that she had the settings in her browser changed. The code was right. Yeah. The settings were right. You know, everything I did was right. But because she had disallowed it and didn't realize that.
Yes.
Because you know it's going to happen. You know that that is something that people do. It's like Zoom, right? Allowing somebody to Zoom a page. I've fought that so many times where people have said, well, this doesn't look right. This, if you have pixel pusher type developer or a designer.
It looks like I'm zoomed out on the page.
But then they've zoomed something in.
Why does your page look like I'm zoomed in?
I can't deal with that. I don't know what the answer is outside of just encouraging people to say no a lot.
Or just, don't give them the site time. Like, jump. If you see a site that's auto-playing video, you don't have to suffer through it. You could probably get that information elsewhere. So just bounce. Get the heck out of that site.
And I know that there are reasons a lot of these companies have auto-playing video. I get it. Well, they think they have reasons. Let me put it that way. They have reasons they think are true. And I know that web developers sometimes get brought into fights that they just, it's a hill they don't want to die on. Because, it's the difference between their paycheck or not at that point. But I feel like there is at least some requirement to sit down and say, okay, I'm not going to say no, but I'm going to show you that people hate this. Or I am going to say no, but I'm gonna track how people use this, and I'm not gonna tell you I'm doing that.
I think that that's I've been a big fan of that. Like when you present the counter case to your supervisor or whomever, and you say like, I don't think this is a good idea. You know, I'm making my case as a responsible web developer. You know, you can tell me to do whatever, and I have to do it, etc. But I'm a big fan of providing data or analytics to sort of support or to learn from that and be like, oh, I guess I was wrong. I don't think that would be the case with this, but
it goes back to the example you gave earlier, right? The company that was doing the video website that discovered that by auto-playing videos, they got a huge jump in the attention span people had. You know, everybody's circumstances are going to be very different on this stuff. And you owe it to yourselves not necessarily to say no blindly. You know, say no where it makes sense, but also it's one of those trust but verify situations. And don't be afraid to sit down and say, if I'm going to play this video, let's record the data for that and see what does our bounce rate look like?
And how does it compare to prior to doing autoplay?
One of the things, and here's something, and I think about, I come back to CNN because I do read CNN a lot. I know people bitch about how it's a liberal, whatever,
it's a news
source
site.
Of fake news. Yeah. Okay, whatever. I'm reading about SpaceX. I don't think there's much of a liberal agenda applied to the SpaceX story. But I think about when I go there and I have this problem of listening to or reading a story and then hearing a video playing, the angle there that I would take as a developer is I want to measure scroll depth as it applies to the exit rate. Think about that for a second. Especially because they put the video at the top of the page. It's the first thing that's there. And I have to scroll past it to get to the text anyway. So if I know that 80% of my users are halfway down my page before the video starts playing, doesn't that give you something really useful to use?
Maybe they weren't expecting the video to play. It's annoying when you go to like the news site. I don't know if CNN does this or not, but I think HuffPo does, where like it loads and you think like you hope with your heart of hearts that it's not going to autoplay and it doesn't appear to, but then you're halfway down the article and then all of a sudden you hear the people talk. It's like, God, do you want to scroll back up the page and hit pause? I have to hear the dumb people talking. Like, I can read myself.
I think that's the best advice, and I think that's going to be advice people hear a lot is
definitely
trust your data. And don't be afraid to get data that disagrees with you, but, you know, at least look for it. And don't go in biased. You know, don't set up your data to fail. Don't not track something because you're worried that it might conflict with what
you want to serve your users as best you can. I mean, in you know, browsing habits change over time, and we have to be open to accepting that things may be different, even if we don't like them or we think they're stupid.
Like right now, you know, people scan well. We hit a page full of text. We can burn down that page of text, pull out the important chunks, and scan it, and be out of that page in 15 seconds. I'm not going to sit there and watch a 3-minute video.
I had a thing come up recently at work where it was discussion about wanting to keep people on the site as long as possible. And I was like, why do we want to keep them on the site as long as possible? We don't need them to hang out here. You know, like they're going to come in with a task or like some kind of objective they have. We want to get them to them as quick as possible. If I go to a site and I can get my answer in 10 seconds and get out of there, I am a happy user and I will consider that site to be a good resource.
If somebody stays on your site longer and doesn't convert in a meaningful way, that's a failure. That means they really wanted to do something and they tried really hard to do it. And if you don't have a conversion number for that person,
that's a tab they forgot to close.
You failed them. So that's the message, folks. I think it's clear from us that we hate auto-playing videos. I think it's clear from you that you hate auto-playing videos.
Sarah Jaffe definitely hates them.
I hope that... I think that at the end of the day, we can do something about that.
Kill it with fire.
We can be better. At the end of the day, we can be better. That's or encourage each other to be better.
We can encourage their stats to be better by not using video, not using sites that do this. Thanks for listening to this episode. We're discussing autoplay videos. Be sure to check us out on Facebook and Twitter. Both are /DrunkenUX to stay abreast of more topics that we discuss drunkenly and hear what we're drinking and talking about.
This episode of the Drunken UX podcast is brought to you by Gasmark 8. Look, web hosting is not sexy. It's just something that's kind of there. You pay every month to the big hosting company that secretly owns all the smaller hosting companies, and you get slow speeds, oversold servers, and terrible support. But the reality is, the couple extra seconds it takes for your website to load could mean lost customers or clients. Less customers equals less money. Where do you go if you want super fast, reliable, and affordable web hosting and you don't really want to babysit a Linux server 24/7? Gasmark 8. Their hosting environment is built for speed and security. All SSD storage? Check. Blazing fast WordPress? Check. Free SSL certificates for all domains if you don't already have one? Check. Data centers on both US coasts, the UK, and mainland Europe? Yes, yes, yes. Gasmark 8 was started by an American, Mike Rychwalski, and a Brit, Adam Palin, two higher ed veterans who met at a conference and started a company making WordPress websites. As more clients complained about their web hosting, Mike and Adam thought over a couple of ciders at the pub that there's got to be a better way. So they built one, and now dozens of small businesses, developers, and nonprofits trust Gasmark 8 with hosting their websites. If you run a web development or creative agency, Gasmark 8 has a great reseller program you can use to upsell their fast and secure hosting to your clients. As a special for listeners of the Drunken UX podcast, Gasmark 8 is offering this limited time special. You can get all the features of their super fast platform for just $10 a month. Just go to gasmark8.com/drunk to sign up. That's gasmark8.com/drunk. And maybe even help us pick out our next topic that we will sit here and talk to you guys about. In fact, next week, or not next week, what is it, next episode? What is it, every two weeks? I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't drink so much.
Whatever the hangover wears off.
Hey, guys, this is how it goes, man. Yes. Tune in next time. That's a good way to put it. We will be talking about e-commerce experiences and see what we can dredge up and who we can humiliate.